And you were listening to Lord Help Us Ever to Retain, and it continues to retain what? We're going to find out about that as we talk to the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really good. You get here okay? No traffic?
No problem.
Yeah, there were some accidents down in the city, but out here on Highway 270, it worked out pretty good. So,
are you going to be teaching confirmation at all this fall?
Oh, I always do. In fact, I just started another congregation, and they have a 88-year-old woman who wants to be confirmed.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
And then we have also a woman who has a baby, wants her baby baptized, and I think she'd like to become a member. So I and the elders at this one particular congregation are going to be meeting with her after church on Sunday.
Very good.
To see about that. So how are you doing with the confirmation? When do you start?
We're starting the first Thursday after Labor Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, always. I've never resented teaching confirmation. You know, there's some pastors that aren't crazy about confirmation, but I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed getting the kids back together in the fall and teaching them. We go from September through the end of April.
Yes. Now, you're affiliated with three other congregations on the parochial school. Do you teach all the kids from the whole or just the ones in your congregation?
No, I just teach my own congregation. I used to teach part of the association class, but no, I just teach my own kids now.
Well, this particular item was written by Ludwig Helmbolt. And he was concerned about Christian education like you are. And he really attached Luther's Small Catechism as important. And it prompted this children's hymn. And it first appeared in the hymnal. Let me see. Yeah, I guess it did in 1585. Isn't that something?
Wow.
And it's a translation by Matthias Loy, and it first appeared in the Lutheran hymnal of the Ohio Synod in 1880. So this is considered to be a children's hymn. Do you ever do children's sermons in a worship service at the school?
No. At the chapel. Oh, sure. We do chapel. I do chapel every year.
Okay.
With the kids. Enjoy that. Yes.
Do you go to a different church each time, or do they come to your church, or how do you?
No, I go to another church.
Okay. So, Lord Help Us Ever to Retain, and not written by Martin Luther. You think it would be the catechism. Why don't you go with verse 1?
All right. Lord Help Us Ever to Retain the Catechism's Doctrine Plain. As Luther taught the word of truth in simple style to tender youth. I've got another question for you first.
Okay.
Are you going to be using the new catechism and explanation, you know, that's available from Concordia Publishing House? The new one?
Are you sitting still?
Yes.
I never use the catechism in confirmation.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
You don't use the synodical catechism?
Nope.
I can't believe that.
Well, let's make it clear. I don't hand it out.
You don't hand it out. Those kids don't each get a copy of their own small catechism.
Not in the ones. If I'm at a church where they do it, then we do it.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I'm a firm believer, especially with adults, I don't want to give them a book. I want to just use the Bible.
Uh-huh.
They're unaware of it. But as we go through the Ten Commandments, I'm doing Luther's Small Catechism.
Yeah, I understand that. I still think it's helpful for them to have a copy of their own and go through it, no.
Well, what happens is at the end, I say, of confirmation, by the way, if you'd like to have a good summary of what we went through, then we hand them the catechism.
I see. Uh-huh.
And, but I have found that we're the Bible-believing church, and for example, you do not hand out to your confirmands the Book of Concord.
No.
But you sure teach it.
Yes.
Yes. And so I do the same thing. You'd be surprised how many people will kind of bridle at the idea, oh, you're just following Luther here. No. That's why when we start, we go right to Exodus with the commandments, and we start looking at them.
Uh-huh.
And then I use scripture, interpret scripture, and where do I get the Bible verses to help explain the commandments?
I imagine from the catechism.
Yes, from this one.
So there's kind of a covert way of sneaking in.
Exactly.
The catechism. But you're really up for, you're an upfront type of guy, aren't you, Tom?
Yes. Well, you'll be surprised that by the time, in fact, we hardly have to finish the commandments and they're asking for their children to be baptized because we talk about that. And they may be coming from a church that doesn't believe in infant baptism, but because of the Bible verses I'm using in light of the commandments, like when we talk about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we
right.
bring in baptism and the Lord's
Supper.
Sure,
sure.
And explain why they cannot take the Lord's Supper right now.
Well, I'll tell you, if people understood what a blessing baptism is, even for the infants,
yes.
who would not want their kids to be baptized as soon as possible? I just can't understand these parents that put it off. They just can't know what a blessing baptism is.
Well, because they have false teachers.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, yeah, their pastors teach them that you can't baptize an infant and think he's saved because you have to make a decision for
right,
Christ, and
right.
infants can't make decisions.
Yeah. You've got to let them get older so they can make their own decision.
Oh.
Yeah, just like you let them decide what they're going to eat every evening.
Or you never adopt an infant because the infant can't decide who his parents are.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Whoever thinks this way? Well, they do because of their false teachers.
Yeah.
And if you're in a church that doesn't baptize infants, then you're hearing a lot of other things that are false. Because you just cannot deny infant baptism without denying an understanding of faith, justification, and many other things.
The Holy Spirit.
Oh, my, yes. I mean, it's so clear in Pentecost that Peter says, and the
promise is for you and for your children.
Yes, and he's talking about little ones.
That's right.
And Jesus takes up infants in his arms, said, suffer the little ones to come unto me.
That's right.
So it's really kind of interesting. We had a great conversation at a Bible study, and I'm starting to rethink my understanding. I was talking about the five ways in which God in the Bible saves children apart from baptism.
Yes.
And one of them that came up was that, is it possible that when a child is among Christian parents and they may hear the parents talking about Jesus or they're in church or something and they're still in the womb,
right?
That hearing that creates faith?
Look at John the Baptist.
But there you have a promise from the angel that he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from before his birth.
Yeah.
And so...
No, you can't. You're right. You can't...
Assure. Yes.
That every unborn infant will hear the word like that. No.
And even if they hear the word...
But they do recognize... They say they recognize the voice of their parents.
Yes.
In the womb.
Yes. I was asked if I was a father. I said yes. And... The person said, well, when the baby in the womb heard your voice, did you ever hear it jumping? And I said, no, I never did. And she said, you're not a very good father. I was waiting until they got born and could cut the lawn before I started dealing with him, be that as it may. And but she was correct. You know, there is that. The fact of the matter is, though, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yes.
But it doesn't say faith always comes by hearing the word of God.
No.
But it doesn't say faith never comes.
Right.
So this would be another option I'm giving some thought to as the possibility of that. For example, one of the verses brought up was when Mary went to Elizabeth.
Yes.
And the idea was given that therefore the baby heard the voice, and that's...
Leaped for joy. It says it. He leaped for joy. It specifically says he leaped for joy, which is not just the infant kicking in the womb.
No. And Elizabeth, though, explains, because it was the Holy Spirit that did that.
Right.
By then, Zacharias would have told her what had happened in the temple. But well, no, he couldn't because he was mute.
No, that's right.
That's right, boy. So he must have drawn a picture or something. Yeah. But at any rate, that doesn't say that faith came to the child at that point. The reason he leaped for joy was he already had faith.
Right.
You know. So there's another way that God saved him. Who knows how else others. Right.
But the only way you can be absolutely sure that that little infant is a child of God and heir of heaven is through baptism.
Yes, that's right.
That's why it's, and you could be absolutely sure.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yeah, in contrast to, what was I about to say then? I can't think.
Adult baptism?
No. No.
Circumcision?
No. I forget.
Senior moment, huh, Tom?
Senior moment, yes. All righty. So, Shepherd of Tender Youth. No, I'm sorry. Lord, help us ever to retain. Now, this is really important that I want to talk about. What does retain mean?
Keep.
Yes. But do you know how many people have something memorized and they don't retain it? Why not? Because they don't understand it. No.
They don't understand it.
There is a difference between knowledge and understanding.
Understanding it.
For example, most of the scribes in Jesus' day knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards.
Right.
They knew the Old Testament, but they had no understanding of it.
Yeah.
Jesus came, they crucified.
Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it.
Yes,
that's what they failed to do.
Inwardly I digest. In fact, I made the comment in the sermon, and I'm going to be talking about this on Wednesday, where Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh
and drink my blood.
I don't want to talk about that right now, but I'm going to be talking about that. And I say, you know, a lot of times the English translations really mess you up. And at the end of it, a gentleman was walking out of church. He says, well, if the English translations mess me up, how do I know what's correct? And I looked at him and I said, that's why God created the church and pastors.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It's the same, like, illness messes me up. So what did God do? He created doctors, physicians, and hospitals. I have no understanding. When you go to a doctor and he says, well, you take this particular pill. Now the thing is, a tenth of the size of a fingernail. How is that going to help? How do I get it into my head? It's a headache I have. No, you swallowed in your stomach. How about swallowing in your stomach? I have no understanding of any of this, but I still do it because I trust the doctor. And so it's really important, the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus, those guys on the road to Emmaus, they had no understanding of why that happened. They needed
Jesus opened the scriptures to them.
That's right. And what it says about their heart while he's talking to them?
They said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke
to us
along the way?
Or maybe you could retranslate that like John the Baptizer, leap for joy.
Uh-huh.
Before they recognized it was Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
The Bible alone.
Right, the Word.
You see, and this is why I say, you know, there's no evidence at all for what we Christians believe except God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And God's Word makes it clear, but you will never agree with God's Word until after you are given faith. And faith comes by hearing the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit works through.
You mentioned earlier that sometimes, and you know, we talked about that very issue in Sunday Bible class about how translations will sometimes mix us up. Do you think it's better to have more translations? Do you remember back, like in the 60s, where you had the RSV, the King James Bible, and that was about it? There were maybe one or two others that you couldn't hear about, but you only had those two main. Now, they're always coming out with a new version somewhere. Well, do you think that's helpful, or do you think it's...
Well, let me give you an example, because you're going to answer it yourself. You know what the answer is. Would you rather give out the original old King James version or the new King James version?
I think the new King James.
Give somebody, a kid, 6 years old, Shakespeare.
Yeah.
and have them try and tell you what it means.
Yeah.
No, the old King James.
Although I'll tell you that, the old King James, I still use that Christmas Eve for
No, I didn't say. No, you don't.
It's beautiful.
No, you don't. I'm talking about the original King James.
Oh.
The one you use is about a fifth translation up. Renewed, because it made it more American in its English and such.
It's still lofty, beautiful.
Oh.
Reads beautiful.
I think that what you do there.
You ever try reading the New American Standard from the lectern?
It is.
They always said that that was the closest to the original languages.
It is.
But you try reading that. It just does not flow.
Because it's not poetic.
No.
Like the King James was. The King James really had. But the King James has so many errors in it.
Yes, that's true.
From a English point of view, for instance, at the Lord's Supper, you know, you get the opinion that you're going to go to hell if you take the Lord's Supper the wrong way. And it doesn't say that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that needs to be updated. One of my best friends, Jim Belt, says that I'm wrong to say the English translations mislead. He says an inaccurate English translation.
There you go.
He's really correct on that. But I'm going to show Wednesday that all the translations have the same item in it, and they're all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They mislead, let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about that.
Only you are correct, right?
Who's you? With a capital Y? So to retain the catechism, it's not enough. Now, what do? Do you have the kids memorize the week before and then explain, or do you first explain and then have them memorize?
Usually, well, it's never a perfect situation. Sometimes they memorize it after I've gone over it, but, you know, it just depends how well you can get them going. But
I like the idea of waiting until you explain it. Although Issues, Etc. had Paul McCain on there, and he was saying, no. We learn a lot of things we don't know the full meaning of and learn it more
and more.
So
that's right.
You can look at it either way.
Yeah.
But I find I can memorize a lot easier if I can understand what I'm memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we should fear, love, and trust in God. You really want them to start with that? We should fear. And until you understand why you're supposed to fear God, you can really be afraid in a way that you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stanza 2.
Help us your holy law to learn, to mourn our sin and from it turn, in faith to you and to your Son and Holy Spirit, 3 in 1.
Now here's an excellent example that, this is really interesting. Every religion in the world teaches the law for you to follow it in order to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
What's, according to this verse, the purpose of teaching the law? What's the first purpose?
To mourn our sin.
That's repentance.
Right.
Yes. And of course, and from it turn.
And from it turn. That's what repentance is.
Yes. Repentance is a kind of it's metanoia in the Greek, which means a change of mind.
Right.
Change of direction.
Right.
Best example is the act of repentance occurred when Jesus found the lost sheep, put it on his shoulders, and carried it
Brought
back.
Brought it back, right.
Yes. That's what repentance is.
Yeah.
God finding
brings it
you.
About.
Yes. It's not an action that you and I do. If you think it's that, the most you're going to get from them is the kind of repentance Judas had. Sorry for the consequences.
Sorry what he did, yes.
Yes, not sorry because of what he did to Christ, etc. So isn't that great? You all want to have the understanding that you're to learn the law in order to mourn our sin. What other religion says that? You know, you learn the law in order to learn how to be saved, how to manipulate God. And that's not at all true. Stanza 3.
Hear us, dear Father, when we pray for needed help from day to day, that as your children we may live, whom you baptized and so received.
Yes. So we are asking for needed help from day to day. Now, are you noticing what this hymn is doing with the catechism?
It's going in the proper order. It's yes. talking about the Ten Commandments first.
But then, does it skip the creed?
Not really. No, I don't think so. But it talks about the three persons of the creed.
Yes, that's good.
Dear Father, when we pray for needed help
and faith to you and to your Son
and Holy Spirit. So
that's the creed.
You're
right
covering
there.
Creed right
yes.
there.
Yes, excellent, yeah. excellent. So the first verse is just talking about retaining the catechism. The second one talks about the law, the Ten Commandments, and the creed. The third talks about prayer. Read 4 and see what that says.
Lord, when we fall or go astray, absolve and lift us up, we pray, and through the sacrament increase our faith till we depart in peace. There you've got the office of the keys. And you've got the Lord's Supper.
Explain the office of the keys.
Office of the keys deals with the holy ministry of the church, confession and absolution.
Yes. Yeah, I really try and make it clear that when I as a pastor absolve them, it's not I as a pastor absolving them. In the stead
and by the command
yeah.
of our Lord Jesus.
When I was growing up, here's where the English is really bad. I thought it meant instead. Of Jesus.
In the stead. I think a lot of people do think that.
Yeah. Instead of Jesus, I'm doing it. Because you'll hear, just Google absolution, and they'll say, and then there are those Lutherans who think that they have the power to forgive somebody.
Here's a related question.
Yes.
You know, when the communicants come up to the altar.
Right.
And they bow.
Communion rail, you mean.
Right.
Yes.
The communion rail, they bow. Usually before they kneel.
Okay.
Are they bowing to you? Are they bowing to the altar? Are they bowing to Jesus? I know you've got an answer for that because I've heard it before. Are they bowing to you out of respect for your office? Or are they bowing to the altar? What do you think on that?
Okay. Knowing me, I'm going to give the answer that you probably think is not correct.
No.
They're definitely bowing to me.
They're bowing to you because you're in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus. Is that right?
Well, let me ask you this. They bow, then what do?
I bow back.
Why?
I don't know. It's just what I'm used to. It's what I'm used to seeing. You know, common courtesy up there.
Okay, I'm now going to move from knowledge to explanation.
Yes, okay.
You are in the stead of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's Jesus who is bowing to them.
Yes.
Not you.
Uh-huh.
He is ready to give his body and blood.
Uh-huh.
He humbles himself. Remember, he says, he is our servant.
Yes.
And so I've talked to a lot of pastors. They don't realize that when they bow, I believe it's in the stead and by the command of Jesus. Jesus is bowing to them. Take, eat. This is my body. We don't say this is his body.
Right.
No.
Right.
So we say the words he said because we are in the stead and command of Jesus.
That's right.
So I know some say, well, they're bowing to the altar or they're bowing to, you know, it's the bread and the wine in with and under the body and blood. No. They're bowing to me in the stead of Jesus.
Okay.
And I therefore bow back to them.
And Jesus is really bowing.
That's right.
He's welcoming him to his
table. Because the first words they hear are Jesus' words.
Right.
And so I don't make a distinction between giving out the Lord's Supper and doing the absolution.
Right.
Both are in the stead.
Right. I think that'd be helpful to explain to our people.
We just did.
I think it ought to be done more.
Well, of course. That's why KFUO is here. I mean, do you know how many people just heard this? At least
three.
Eight. We're up to eight. Yeah. Thanks so much, Pastor Mark Smith. Tomorrow is Insight Wednesday. Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Well, if you've never taken the Lord's Supper, how can that happen? Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.